It's time for some experimentation. I mean, don't go wild, but maybe that is something that needs to be tweaked to encourage this younger generation to be part of what we, you know, call hospitality and the industry that we love.
Welcome to The Turndown. Today I sit down with longtime acquaintance, friend, companion, Jackie Nunley. She's at Salesforce. She's an ambassador of the hospitality industry, if you will, within her organization. We talk less about Salesforce. We talk more about the hotel industry as a whole, and we talk about innovation. We talk about technology. We talk about AI. We talk about reaching new customers and about how our role inside of hotels in hospitality as a whole is evolving. What's happening to travelers? How is it shaping and how is it changing how we reach new customers? So all some really interesting topics. Jackie, welcome to The Turndown. It's a pleasure to have you here today. I can't wait to pick your brain, to have a great conversation with you. And to kick it off, I'd like to start it with the, softball question that really isn't a softball question because it talks about how you sleep at night and what is keeping you up at night, specifically these days. Jackie, the floor is yours. The microphone is open. I can't wait to hear what is on your mind.
Oh, thank you, first of all, for having me. It's such a pleasure to be here. I've been waiting on the docket, so I'm really excited to talk to you. And, you know, this is a very interesting question. There's so many things that keep me up at night, but I think, you know, maybe a better question is, what is keeping me up this quarter when we look at our business? But considering that, you know, we're at the end of the year, and, you know, at work, we're in strategic planning mode for what's to come in 2024, I think what keeps me up most at night is how to recognize and avoid survivorship bias, which can really, you know, misguide organizational decision making if we're only looking at the year as, you know, what factored in successes rather than the holistic view of the industry. You know, a prime example, you know, for those who are not so familiar with this, is when I think about the mid-market sector, that could be a good example. So I hear a lot of success stories of how, you know, hotels have seamlessly integrated technology or CRM, and now they're experimenting with, you know, all of these new technologies that are coming into play, AI, data, and how to inform their operations or how they've pivoted to experiential, you know, offerings for their travelers and that sort of thing. But that sort of narrative can really overshadow the reality faced by a lot of similar hotels that are typically struggling with adaptations, maybe because of budget constraints or location. And in my role, I think it's really critical to ensure that our plans, you know, for next year and beyond, encompasses the full spectrum of experiences that hoteliers and brands are having out there. So I try to account for not only the successful innovations that have happened, but also those challenges. And right now, that really is the focus. Did I miss something? Have I got everything? And it's important when advising on, you know, what our customers really need from a solutions perspective, what our customers need to be successful and what's coming, what should they focus on? And just having actionable and realistic plans for their growth and their adaptation, you know, that's what's going to help us advance the industry. That is what is going to solve the right problems. You know, that is what is going to encourage us to put out the right solutions for all of the segments of hospitality. So, yeah, I worry about that a lot. We'll think about it.
If I may sort of paraphrase, you know, the things that worry you, is it more the inequality between those that innovate and those that have yet to discover, I guess, innovation and newer tools?
I would say yes, but there's a nuance in that. It's hard not to hear about all these new tools. I think he is pretty well informed in this day and age. But it's, you know, what can be actioned and what are the priorities that you should be focusing on? And do you have access to those type of solutions that will allow you to be able to ramp up quick? So it's really looking at the aspects of those who can, who have, and have been successful. But what about the ones who really want to get there, but don't know where to start or need specific tools to be able to get them to where they are going?
Can it be sometimes, and you know, I'm subject to that myself, right? Like I hear people talk about, we've implemented a new AI-powered product, right? And in my visceral reaction is like, oh no, not another AI-powered product. Because AI is not new, but everyone likes to use that word right now, right? Because it's sort of en vogue, right?
Mm-hmm. And it's the new the new avocado toast.
It's the new avocado toast. I like it. AI is the new avocado toast. Yes. Perfect. Let's trademark that. But yeah, to your point, what is in it for me? What does that really mean? Like, and does it help me save, you know, a staff member at reception? Does it help me be more, you know, creating better experiences with my guests? What does it actually do? And oftentimes that translation is not often, you know, palpable or identifiable easily. Is that something you're noticing as well? Or is it, you know, I guess education that is missing? Like what can we do to help people discover innovation and take that maybe leap that they need in order to adopt a new technology?
So what you're trying to say is if we went to brunch, I don't have to have avocado toast, but I should explore it. Maybe.
So at least have the option. I don't know.
Option. So I like that. The option. So it's really about discovery and where you are now that determines, you know, that understanding is going to determine where it is that you might need to up level or you might need to fill in a gap that you haven't been doing, that you haven't been aware of, that you might have missed along the way that's done manually. That's the education portion. Then we have the challenges in the industry. So when it comes to people and filling roles, you know, I don't think that the challenge has been so difficult that we can't find people to work in the industry. While that is a challenge that is real and is being experienced, but I think that, yeah, this is the same kind of like on the same track as avoiding survivorship bias is looking at the other side. You're so short-staffed that your employees are doing so much more than they should be doing because you haven't had a conversation around what can be automated and what can be made more efficient so that the employee's job is easier. So in answering your question, it's looking at all of those pieces, everything that you asked. It's not just one path. It's education. It's really an assessment of where you need these new tools and need to innovate. And then it's really matching that to what your brand is all about and what your message is and what you're trying to put out in the market. And it's an orchestration of those three things, or just those three areas that we're talking about, that is going to allow you know, these hoteliers to understand what sort of outcomes they can achieve based upon the people who've already done it or are on their journey, if we share those stories and make sure that they are informed.
Yeah, interesting. You talk to hoteliers, I assume, quite frequently. You've been in this industry for some time. I think you and I met probably, let's not age ourselves.
Okay.
15, 18, some time ago.
Oh.
Some time ago. I think it was actually in Germany, if I'm not mistaken. Could have been there, or it could be somewhere else. I think it was in Germany.
Yes, we first met in Germany and then later on here in the States.
Yeah. I'm curious, as you know, you've been in this industry for some time. You talk to hoteliers, you know. If you look at the pain points that hoteliers have today versus, let's say, 10 years ago or 15 years ago, is it fundamentally different, or is it, it hasn't changed much from your perspective?
I think it's changed.
Okay. What, and if so, what has changed?
I think that we've certainly gotten better at the running of, you know, hospitality from a technology perspective. And you and I both know this. I mean, if we talk about what distribution looked like way back when we met versus now, you know, it's night.
I think we were using a modem at some point.
Right. So, I mean, from a technology perspective, it's certainly changed. From a practice perspective, I think that area needs to be assessed very carefully. Now, even in the roles that exist within hotels, and we'll talk about that, you know, hopefully a little bit later on in this, because I can't see how we can't touch on that. But have the roles changed? No, fundamentally, you know, hospitality is delivered a certain way. But what has changed about those roles is really the people, right? We have new people in hospitality, delivering hospitality. So in that, there may be some changes that have been noticed. Then we've had real disruptions, a crisis, a pandemic, that has changed consumers' minds and hearts on how they want to experience hospitality. That has had to have an effect on how we deliver hospitality, what it takes to deliver hospitality. So, in short, I think that it's changed fundamentally in those areas: people, customers, technology.
I'm curious, right, as you sort of prepare for next year, right, like in 2024, because you mentioned sort of that transition phase right now from 23 into 24.
Yep.
What are the challenges that you, in your role, are facing today, and how are you tackling them?
So, I don't think that I'm unique in saying that. The biggest challenge, because I work in technology, the biggest challenge is really how to take advantage or harness the availability of AI technology now and also in the near future that's going to help me and others do their jobs better. So in my role, I have to do a lot of analysis now to look back, to listen to talking heads, to talk to customers and find out, how did your year really go? And I have to, or I would love to, take advantage of adopting more efficient methods that may be technologically agnostic to help me develop the frameworks that allow me to prioritize or focus on what drives the most value for our strategic objectives and our customers. So what that means is I'm leveraging our own sources here at my, you know, company Salesforce to automate some of the more routine aspects of my job. And that's what's going to allow me to focus on those, you know, high level strategic analysis and decision making. And that's possibly going to help me speed up the process. But the most important part is there's a higher degree of accuracy and insight that I can actually use to help my, you know, colleagues get to where they're going to.
I feel like, especially in the last sort of maybe 12 months, we kind of had to relearn our jobs again, right? And the tools that we've been using. Is that how you feel as well? Like,
what?
You know, you maybe a year or two ago, you were doing things a certain way. And with the emergence of AI supported tools and services, your role somewhat has changed. You can focus.
Yes, it has.
Is that fair?
Yeah, a really good example is, you know, at this time of the year, this is where like some of the best articles are written. You know, some of the most interesting reports come out, and it reflects on the year and what happened in travel and hospitality. Some of the best webinars, some of the best podcasts come out. And I do focus some of my time in writing. And what I've discovered is there's some really great tools out there that help me structure my articles to be more effective. You know, whether it's checking plagiarism or curating like citations, you know, that's going to help me deliver better content that has more credibility. And I could go on and on. You know, the list is pretty endless for these amazing creators who are providing us with these, you know, tools that allow us to be better at what we do. So in your question, you know, there must have been something that's changed. Oh, I can see a real big change from last year in December to this year in December with how I'm going about providing, you know, this knowledge and information to those that need it.
Interesting. Yeah, I feel I've become myself a little bit more concise in my communication, right? Like I think we've all had that development in the last few years that we've become, our attention span has become shorter and shorter, right? So we would like to get to or be informed of the opportunity of any information as quickly as possible so that we decide, should we continue to pay attention or should we stop?
Yeah.
Or should we, you know, do something else? Or is this, you know, important or is this not important?
Yeah.
Right?
I agree 100%. I absolutely agree with you. And it's also, you know, because there's so much noise in the world. How do you pay attention to the things that are actually important?
So let's talk about that. We have hospitality that is, I guess, administered by a new generation, right, of people. The age is probably somewhere between 20 to 25, if you look at a hotel anywhere in the world. They've grown up without modems. They've grown up with, you know, a very different digital experience, and they're servicing customers who may be, you know, 5 to 10, 15 years older, because that's sort of probably the average age of customers staying at their properties.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be future guests, right? They're ultimately becoming, you know, the future guests of tomorrow. We often at Cloudbeds get told that it's hard to train staff on legacy systems, on older, you know, user interfaces, on technology. How quickly do we have to innovate our technology to, I guess, ensure that our future generation of users, meaning the hotels, don't get discouraged by, you know, what is the oldest industry in the world?
It's interesting. I'm listening to you asking that question, and I'm thinking about this younger generation coming in, and I'm wondering whether it's just the technology. I mean, we were going to talk about, you know, roles in hospitality. And I don't think it's a problem with the technology. I think it has to do with the roles being so rigid. So that's my perspective, yeah. But I truly believe that maybe hospitality jobs have become a little bit boring because of the rigidity, the rigid way that we go about execution of what needs to be done within roles.
Yeah, okay, and I'm with you. I'm with you.
So let's just talk about this. So if you look at the basics of hospitality, just go back to, you know, a 12-room, 10-room hotel or bed and breakfast, right? And the proprietor played the role of the host and the front desk agent and the concierge, and they doubled up as the chef and possibly the housekeeper as well, right?
Made coffee as well. Sure.
Exactly. So, but wasn't that what is being hospitable? Isn't that what being hospitable is about? Now, think about this. When somebody comes and visits, especially now during the holidays, right? Don't you play all of those roles, or at least some of them, to be hospitable? So in that sense, we've tied people to roles so rigidly that, quite frankly, it's boring when you're doing the same thing all the time. I'm not going to hear great stories from you and the visitors that you had over the holidays unless there was some sort of chaos and balance and that sort of thing. But it's interesting. You have an interest in how your guests feel and how you want to treat them and enjoy the holiday and have some outcome. But I've seen some brands actually take steps of expanding traditional roles. And it's gotten me really excited because some of them are supported by technology. Okay, what do you have access to that makes your job easier? And some are in alignment with how these young people want to work. So how do you actually foster an interest committing to be part of the industry? And I think it's worthwhile to expand on that, or at least explore what that might look like from, you know, a hotel or a hotel brand that is gearing up to start, you know, employing a younger generation with a different mindset and a different attention span. If we want to convince young people that they should stay in our industry, they have to be exposed to a wider range of what it actually means to be hospitable. So I know that came from a different angle, but I think it's an important aspect of maybe what we're doing with technology and innovating with technology and the applications does need to evolve. But I don't think that's the only thing that is causing the reluctance to work in hospitality.
So the job descriptions have to be rewritten.
Or expanded.
Okay.
Or just made a lot funner.
More interesting.
I'd like to be able to be behind the counter and serve you a cup of coffee instead of being stuck behind a desk all day. Maybe that little nuance is going to make my job a little bit more interesting when I can support my colleague who stepped out for lunch and do something else.
I was talking to a hotelier recently who had his team be the social influencer of his company. And they would and they would walk around the property and record themselves as, you know, working on the property and sharing the experiences that we're having, right? And whether it was making bread or unloading a wine delivery or something. And I thought that was super cool. And they were posting these videos as employees of the company.
Mm-hmm.
It was very genuine. It was unedited. You know, sometimes, you know, they put some odd songs, but it was their choices on what songs they picked. And it was genuine, right? And I don't know whether that's the answer, but I thought that was extremely creative. It was leveraging, you know, the energy of the teams in order to tell a story about what guests can potentially experience at that property.
Yeah. I remember.
And who's working behind.
Yeah. There's another aspect to all this that, you know, is very much a part of business. But I remember, you know, a time, you and I are old enough to kind of remember a time where, you know, your local hotel was a place where you and your family frequented. And, you know, then we grew up and all of a sudden hotels were just for travelers. Well, it seemed that way. And there were many stories that actually supported that. Yet we didn't take into account, and I learned this from a hotel brand, we didn't take into account that any traveler coming into a city and staying at a hotel was there to do business in the community. So it's really encouraging to see some of these innovators of post-pandemic hospitality taking that into account based on the realization that the community is what helped sustain some of these hotels who might have had to close their doors had it not been from support of their communities. And there's some really endearing stories out there how some roles like a concierge role becomes a liaison role where they invite the community back in. So while we're still grappling with this, you know, challenge to hire people back, I think when you really look at it, you have to ask whether the roles of the people who work in hospitality are interesting enough anymore. And I think it's time for some experimentation. I mean, don't go wild, but maybe that is something that needs to be tweaked to encourage this younger generation to be part of what we, you know, call hospitality and the industry that we love.
Yeah, here's sort of a myth that I wanted to, that I learned the hard way to bust, if you will, if that's the exact expression that I wanted to use. When you grow up working in hospitality, I grew up working in hospitality at the age of 25 or 26, etc. I was envious of the business traveler staying at my hotel, which so I was like, this is a fantastic life. I love it. I want to become that business traveler and travel around the world and see all these amazing places. As you grow older and you start traveling for business, your perspective changes. You're away from your family, you're away from your friends, from your loved ones. And this, what looked as a privilege is no longer a privilege, right? It suddenly becomes time that you're not spending with your loved ones, with your kids, with your family, etc. And Zoom or whatever tools and cameras that we're using has allowed us to be more, I guess, sustainable in our travel, if you will.
Yeah.
Or be more selective in our travel. Do you see that continuing over time? Meaning like the trips or the travel we do needs to matter, needs to have an impact.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think it does. It does have to have an impact.
Mm-hmm.
I think that tools like Zoom
mm-hmm.
allow us to be able to gain that balance that also addresses how you felt when it became an every week thing and you had to travel and you were away from loved ones, etc. I think the beauty of this is we've been given some balance. And sure, it didn't seem like that when it first started. You know, everybody was like, it's because of the pandemic. But if you've been working from home for a long time, you might have had different perspective. It's like now you have a good balance to be able to still connect with people online, and it's okay. There's no pressure for you to be in front of them, but you use these tools as a way to nurture relationships as well. Stay in touch. It's like the new version of picking up your phone and making a call or texting someone in the business world, and it's acceptable. So that helps you balance out that whole time with my family versus being on the road. And intentionally traveling to meet face to face because it matters. And because, you know, there's a valuable outcome that you're getting or pursuing. So I think it just gives us, it gives us balance. We can't always look at this and go, oh no, this is the wrong way to go. I think there's always something positive to be derived from, you know, technology that's introduced that can help you do your job.
I also feel, and I'm curious on your perspective, whether you agree or disagree, I feel if we invest in meeting someone in person, the value of that time has increased significantly.
Oh, yes.
Right?
100%.
Hugely, right? Like if I'm, you know, in order to have a business discussion, I can, to your point, instead of making a phone call, I'll do a Zoom call, right? But if I dedicate travel time to this, you know, opportunity, to this partnership, to this relationship, whatever we're talking about on a leisure or corporate travel, it elevates the priority for everyone involved, right? It suddenly makes it extremely important, and you want to control the outcome. You want to make sure that it is something that is successful, mm-hmm. no matter where you engage.
And you want to make sure that, you know, you're bringing the best possible, you know, self solutions, you know, so that you actually have a valuable outcome. And I found that when I travel in person to meet with customers, the outcome is far more valuable than it used to be. Not just because, you know, you don't meet that often, but because of the effort that you're making, the effort that you're making to actually understand that customer's problems, do your homework before you go, really have great solutions that show that you understand what type of problems they're trying to solve, but really connecting on a level where you both know, okay, this vendor is here to help me and I am here to help this customer. It's more meaningful.
It's more meaningful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go back to that sort of next generation. You do a lot of work with Salesforce around CRM, around reaching new customers, segmenting, understanding your business, if you will. Think about this new customer of ours, right, that will soon start hopefully traveling, right, 25 years of age. How are they inspired today and in the future of selecting where they go, how they travel, where they stay? Like, how are we reaching that? Because, you know, I know where I'm booking my travel, but I feel like this future generation is inspired by very different things or by very different tools than you and I potentially are. I'm curious what your thoughts are around this.
Gosh, I have a lot of thoughts around, you know, engaging with I'm gonna, Gen Z is 25.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
God.
Yes. It has happened.
You know, some of the things that I have noticed personally with Gen Z is what an absolute beautiful generation this is, meaning in how they think and what they hold important. And there's an aspect of, at least I've experienced, there's a deeper aspect of caring about their environment, caring about the people around them, caring about others that are not in their vicinity. I think it's really refreshing to see a generation kind of like grow up in such a technologically advanced capacity, but still have that human approach to everything. I think that the opinions of others, it might be an age thing, but the opinion of others seems to be more important in this generation's view. So it's really understanding where they are and how to meet them where they are that is going to encourage them to kind of like take the leap and start traveling the way we expect them to travel. But one of the things that I have noticed is, I'm not saying that this is a trend. This is not a trend at all. This is something that is going to be a very solid strategy in the future, which is this generation wants a sense of community, and that is extremely important to them. They want to be able to do good, and that is extremely important to them. And it's those things that are going to interest them in travel more than anything. If we look at what's the foundation of it, I think those two levers are certainly areas that hoteliers should be looking at, or any travel companies should be looking at. What fosters a sense of community, and what does good?
What is going to disrupt travel?
Okay, what are we talking about? Like, you know, we've just been disrupted, but what are we talking about? Like five years or 2030?
I mean, you're looking at your 2024 planning, right? And I think right now we're all in this year and next year, meaning, you know, 24, 25. Is there something on the horizon that you think we need to carefully, you know, avoid? Or is there something that we need to absolutely embrace because it's going to change how we do business? We talked a little bit about AI, and I think that sort of has disrupted the way you work, for sure.
Yeah.
The way I work. But are there other things, or is that one area that's going to even accelerate more, I guess, to that?
Okay, I like that better, because disruption is, you know, a little bit negative. So what might accelerate, if we're talking about 2024, I think the avocado toast we've already identified as AI. The reality is that most of our customers or most companies, let's say most companies out there, have been using AI for a long time. It just wasn't called AI. It was more of a predictive nature rather than a generative nature. And I believe that the generative portion is going to accelerate. That is going to usher in a completely different way of working in harmony with generative AI technology. And that's going to help a lot of, you know, some of the questions that you asked about innovation. You know, do we have to be thinking about these applications and simplifying them for this new generation of employees? I think generative AI is actually going to help us get us there faster than, you know, the usual generation of an innovative way to be able to do work or engage with an application. So there's that. If we're looking at a broader lens of what's going to happen beyond 2024, I think that gets really interesting, because you have to start thinking about, well, what comes after AI, right? So it's like, if we jump like really far and go 10 years later, and we still stick to the subject of how that's going to affect hospitality, I see really advanced AI and personalization algorithms evolving to the point where they create every single aspect on, you know, an individual's preferences, past behavior, and real-time needs. And I think it's like you have to join the dots at this point. It's not just one thing disrupting or changing or accelerating. It forces the other things to accelerate. So I cover travel and hospitality, but I think that in another 10 years, transportation will go full autonomous and really transform how this is the kicker. It will transform how travelers move from place to place, but then it makes it a seamless, safe, and efficient way of being able to do that. But that's going to affect the logistics of travel. And it's also going to alter the landscape of travel destinations. So that can be really interesting.
Where we travel to, you think?
Yes. Because
there's a lot of people
get somewhere easily. And you have the technology that allows you to be able to act on your whims right now. Why wouldn't you? And sustainably and safely. I mean, I get super excited when I hear, you know, stories, and I really try to keep my ear on the pulse on the travel side of, you know, all the testing of air taxis now. What does that actually mean for business travel?
For Uber.
Uber is still in the game. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a logical kind of like metamorphosis into that portion of transportation, but it could, you know, also really affect about like how we look at travel. So it's an interesting, I think there's a very interesting future out there, but the key is going to be joining the dots, because it's not about moving one thing anymore. It's about that one thing moving others.
Before we wrap up, I'd love to ask you a few quick fire questions. Something, you know, I'll shoot you a question and you just answer what comes to mind.
Okay, I'm ready.
You're ready. What is one piece of technology that you think will disappear from a hotel room?
The phone.
Okay. What is one piece of technology hoteliers should change and upgrade tomorrow?
Change and upgrade?
Or change, you know, whatever. Is it the door lock? Is it like, I'm just curious, like, what do you think, in especially as you think of your experiences in hotels or your conversation with hoteliers, where they've underinvested, where you think they need to invest in a new version of technology?
Does it have to be technology?
No. You could invest in people as well.
Room design.
Room design. Okay. What are you changing?
Oh, God. I'm changing bog standard, you know, two side tables, two lamps. You know, bed made a certain way, facing a certain direction, TV in front of you. Room design.
Okay, room design. Yeah. Okay, great. What's your next travel destination that you're going to and that gets you excited?
I am going to Istanbul.
That is exciting.
Leisure or
business?
Leisure.
Fair enough.
Leisure. I'm tagging along with a friend who's going to do business, but I am leisuring it up.
Fantastic, fantastic. Jackie, we could go on for hours, but I'm conscious of time as well. I thank you so much for sharing your thoughts, your insight, your experience, for spending a good hour with us today, and appreciate you joining the program.
It's been a pleasure, Sebastian. Always good to see you.
Thank you for listening to The Turndown. Don't forget to subscribe and tune in next week as we discover new exciting guests.